It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here at 77 WABC, live from the 77 WABC studios high above Madison Square Garden, airing in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at WABCBizRadio.com. And of course, on the 77 WABC app. This show, Mind Your Business on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are in your mind. Gain business advice and strategies on so many professions and categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, communications, entrepreneurship, financial planning, marketing and advertising, time management, customer attention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, as we do each week, we open with some thank yous. Special thank you to the show's producer, Pesach Trapper. Thank you. And to the entire team at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays a really great support role for the show, Rena, Srilli, Miriam, Ellie, Dina, thank you. And of course, to the great team here at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, thank you. And also, I'd like to give special mention to the various channels that we're syndicated on at this point. Mishpacha Magazine, the monthly Take 5 column. Their episodes already feature the interview with John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, David Colby, Christine Comerford, and just recently, the interview that they featured was the an interview we had on 77 WABC with the founders of Warby Parker. Pretty cool. Subscribers get that naturally, and otherwise you can pick it up on your newsstand. We're also syndicated on C-Suite Radio, Audio Boom, iTunes, YouTube. We have a full channel filled with many videos. Tonight's is going to be featured as well. All you have to do is that you can access by going to YouTube, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis. You put that in. There are at least 30 videos there filled with amazing, great business content, and it's free. And of course, as we mention each week, all episodes are available at WABCBizRadio.com. That's the dedicated website for the show. WABCBizRadio.com. Also, I neglected to mention we're on C-Suite TV, and there you could see the episode we had with Dawn Fay from Robert Haft, also Sam Walker from the Wall Street Journal. That episode is up on C-Suite TV. And again, everything is available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. There you can actually even filter out by category if you're looking for information based on real estate, based on entrepreneurship, based on communications, based on financial planning. You could segment it that way, and it will show you the shows that are that were dedicated specifically on that category. Also, if you follow me on social media, that's where you'll get the inside scoop who our upcoming guests will be. On Twitter, my handle is YSaftless, Y-S-A-F-T-L-A-S. On Facebook, this show has a dedicated Facebook page, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless. Of course, on LinkedIn as well, Yitzhak Saftless, YouTube, Instagram, etc. Also, a special reminder about some of the recent guests that we've had on the show. John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi. Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie. Shep Hyken, world-renowned customer service expert. Jeffrey Hazlett, Paul Massey. Paul Massey's running for mayor. Let me correct that. And of course, from Cushman & Wakefield, Steven Sato, former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, Chris McCann, CEO of 1-800-Flowers, Captain Sully Sullenberger, and so many other great guests. They're all available. The great wisdom that they shared is available by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. Well, a little bit about tonight's guest, Gene Stafford. Gene is a communications trainer and president of Stafford & Company, but some more background here. She actually trains people how to communicate with speed and clarity. She worked on numerous political campaigns, most notably probably the Giuliani administration as well, but on the Giuliani for New York campaign. And she has a new book coming out very soon, a couple of months in the fall of 2017, Think, Drink, Eat, Move, Four Steps to Yes. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where we will discuss how to communicate professionally and skillfully, how thinking like a comedy improviser can help your communication skills, and how to implement positive communications in the workforce. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Gene Stafford. Gene, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you, Yitzhak. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. We met back at a C-Suite Network conference, and we hit it off at that point.
We sure did.
So let's even, you know, before we get into the meat and potatoes of the interview, let's go down memory lane. Where you are today and the level of expertise that you have, did you dream this when you were in high school?
No.
Sorry to put you on the spot. But like, so well, you know, the road that got you to here in a short nugget, how, you know, what was the journey like?
Well, the journey to being a champion of yes, which okay. I am, started, I would say, that the clarity began in the fall of 2001
okay.
when my son entered a special education school and was diagnosed with a form of autism later called Asperger's. And I learned in role of mother as an advocate for him that somebody had to speak up for him and someone had to help define what he needed. And what I knew he needed was the thing he had the most difficulty doing was processing the word no. Literally fell apart. And a therapist once called it end of world thinking, that he couldn't process behind what wasn't going to happen. He couldn't see a future past no. So I literally learned to speak yes. And then to translate that for teachers, I would say, this child is 1,000 things before he's a child with this diagnosis. Let's speak to what he is, what he understands. And I truly believed in supporting them. The irony was only a few years earlier, I'd started for myself taking an improv class. And little did I know this hobby would be feeding something I needed in the role of advocate for my son. And then later on, as I re-entered my world in my career as a coach, I was called back from people that I'd worked with for 15 years in fundraising. And what I realized that I was saying yes all along. As a fundraiser, I was turning no's into yeses. The first thing someone says to you when you ask them for money is no. So it was inherent in me to say yes. It was inherent in me to be positive. And that's how it all rolled out.
Now, you've shared this story with me in the past, and I'd love to hear it if you could share it on the air. Your time with the Giuliani campaign started with a great story. I believe it started with a no, actually.
That's right.
Could you share the story?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. After enough years in politics, you know, it can be really draining. Yeah. So I was on track to get myself a nice, solid corporate job with benefits and some vacation. And I was interviewing and someone said, you should really meet a guy named Rudy Giuliani. He's very interesting because after looking at my resume,
this is before he ran for public office.
Right. This was 93. This was actually his second mayoral campaign.
His second run.
Yeah. And he... So this person said, after looking at my resume, which was all politics all over the country, oh, you really need to meet this guy. And I said, no, thank you very much.
<There's> no.
Sounds like a great idea, but I really, really, truly have a path here. I'm going to go get myself a nice, solid corporate job. So in that process, because I thought, well, let me say yes to adding these interviews, I interviewed with approximately 7 or 8 people in the Giuliani camp, along with interviewing with other jobs. And I got a job. I got a job in the fall of 92 to be the executive director of a pretty prominent foundation here in New York. I said yes, and I was ready to start in January. And out of the blue, I got a call from Rudy Giuliani's office saying, Mr. Giuliani would like to meet with you. And the woman was not interested in my story that I couldn't meet with him because
I already had
a job. She said, no. My job is to set up a meeting. That's my only job. So I'm setting up a meeting. So I set up the meeting. I'll never forget this, for December 21st, 1992. And right after I set the interview up a few weeks before, I called my father, who is my absolute guru in the political world and in all worlds of guidance. And I said, what do I do? And he said, Rudy Giuliani is a very interesting person. In your lifetime, you want to say you had a meeting with him. Go for the meeting. Wow. You've been asked to a meeting. And that was it. I went to the meeting. And the irony was the job that I accepted was twice the amount of money I was about to say yes to work for Rudy Giuliani as finance director of his campaign only a few weeks later. So we are both New Yorkers.
Yeah.
And when you meet a New Yorker that was talking the way Rudy Giuliani was talking in 1992, there was no saying no. You could only say yes. So I did.
What a great story. I mean, moving along in your political experience, there was the story about and the excitement about working for Team 100. Could you talk about that?
Sure. I graduated from college. I went to Trinity College in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. So I'd already been working at the Republican mm-hmm. National Committee through college and mm-hmm. started working at Team 100, which was a soft money campaign effort. This was the kind of money that gets fed to state and local elections. Mm-hmm. And these were very big donors. One of them is now President wow. of the United States. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I was in charge of the Team 100 list. And back then, my nickname was Fawn Hall because I shredded the old list every night. And I printed out the new one and delivered it to the board that wow. ran Team 100, wow. the committee. And that was really, I was the youngest person there. And I learned about moving quickly, keeping information confident. And confidential right, and right. Yeah, it was a great experience, truly set me on a path.
Now I really want to move to your incredible knowledge and expertise on the area of communication. Now there was a great article penned in the Huffington Post where you talked about what political campaigns teach you about communications. Perhaps you can share some insights from that piece.
Sure. I think the most important thing I learned very early on was to take nothing personally.
So, great advice.
Yeah, yeah. When I work with clients, I think that's the number one thing I hear back, that people have a personal reaction to things which keeps them stuck.
Right. The emotions
so,
get in the way.
Yes, yes. So I like to transform words and thoughts for people and say, take things professionally, not personally. And there's no way to take things personally in a political campaign. You're moving too fast. Too much is required of you. So that's what political campaigns can teach us about that. And another thing they can teach us is to, I think that one thing that helped me, and I'll go back to my father again on this. He said, when I was working on the campaigns, mm-hmm. take a look around, look at who you're working with. You're going to know these people for the rest of your life. And I did. I sought out funny people. I sought out optimistic people and people who like to get the job done. And they're still in my life.
So true. Could you repeat that line again about professionally or personally? It was such a great line.
Yeah, thank you. Take things professionally, not personally. Use from the information what you need. And we'll talk later.
Folks, that's about, a tweetable line.
Mm-hmm. Take things so professionally, true. Not personally.
Now, you touched on it before. You talked about your fundraising experience. There are a lot of nonprofits that are listeners to the show. And, of course, in the political world as well. Perhaps any tips, just before we get back to communication, any tips on fundraising for the nonprofits out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two I would give off the top of my head. One involves a client who is a fundraiser here in New York for a nonprofit. And she hired me because she felt like she wasn't raising enough money and wanted to get better at her job. And she had this beautiful personal connection to why she was there that she hadn't shared with people because it was too emotional for her. Mm. And we found the words for her to refer to it when she was talking with potential donors, potential volunteers. We found the words for her to use that didn't necessarily bring up the emotion, but brought up the momentum she needed to create energy in people. And when any of us meet anybody who is personally connected to a topic, we trust them and we want to be part of it. A second thing a lot of people come to me is for people who are raising small amounts of money. They're doing a Kickstarter campaign mm-hmm. because they're doing a run or a walk. Mm-hmm. And early on, back in the special education days when I was working with my mom, she asked me, because I was raising money for something, I told her she could write a check for anything. And she said, like, 25, 50, 100, how much? And I looked at her and said, when did you last go to Target? And she told me it was 2 weeks ago. And I said, did you go with a list? And she said, yes. And then I said, I want whatever amount you spent over what you intended to spend. That's how freely you gave that. You separated yourself from that money that freely.
So cool.
I want you to give that amount to this cause. And that's a powerful analogy for all of us when we're looking to raise a small amount of money from people who say, well, how much? Well, how much did you mindlessly spend? What did you mindlessly spend in the recent few, recently?
And frame it that way.
Yes. And they can connect to it personally.
My guest this evening is Jean Stafford, communications trainer, president of Stafford & Company. She has a new book coming out, which we'll talk about soon, which is Think, Drink, Eat, Move, 4 Steps to Yes. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Come join the most trusted business network for executives, the C-Suite Network. If you're a business of $5 million or greater, or your position is VP or higher, you're invited to join the C-Suite Network to connect with business peers. Go to csuitenetwork.com, that is csuitenetwork.com, to learn more about the benefits, meetings, and services exclusive for C-suite executives like you.
Are you applying for Medicaid and need assistance? Are you thinking about putting a loved one in a nursing home and require guidance? Call Senior Planning Services at 516-500-SENIORS or visit senior-planning.com to get the help you need by the professionals you trust. Their expert advice will save you money, time, and frustration. Call 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com. Applying for Medicaid is made simple with Senior Planning Services. Call 516-500-SENIORS. That's 516-500-7364. Or visit senior-planning.com for a free consultation.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. My guest this evening is Jean Stafford, communications trainer, speaker, president of Stafford & Company, and we're talking communications. So if you're, I shouldn't say if you're only if you're in the area of communications that this show is important, because at the end of the day, any job in the world comes down to communications on some level. Okay, perhaps if you're an Amazon store, maybe a little less, but most people interact with humans, and therefore communications is probably the number one area of development that anyone needs to master in order to be successful. So, Gene, you practice improv comedy, and you teach audiences to think like, you know, comedians that just, you know, do it by the seat of their pants. And now, besides for the obvious benefit of comic relief and, you know, just, turning down the heat or in the room or, you know, keeping it light, why is this skill so beneficial?
The skill is beneficial because it helps us to become unstuck and achieve momentum in what I call every space we enter. When you spoke about communication,
right,
we truly communicate,
right,
from the moment we open our eyes until the moment we close them at night. We are communicating in every space we enter. So thinking like an improviser, I train audiences to increase the number of scenes they have in their life. If you are stuck in one scene with one issue, if you are having the same problem over and over again, it's because you're not being transformed by what you're seeing in front of you. If an improviser does this on stage, the audience is asleep. It's not funny. They're not changing.
True.
The idea is that an improviser moves quickly, knows exactly what it needs to do, he or she needs to do with the conflict the event and then move on from it, be transformed by it. So that's very important to be able to. So what audiences learn from that is, where am I stuck? Right. What do I need to let go of?
My metaphor, I think I mentioned to you in one of our conversations, in my office I have an Etch-a-Sketch. That famous old, the kids don't know about it because, you don't do it on your phone.
Right. But, who knows? Maybe someday.
It'll come back a retro or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But that Etch-a-Sketch, the metaphor is great. Anytime I'm having a conversation with someone and I see that there's, myself, them, whatever, we're just stuck, I'll take the thing out. I'll shake it. And for most people, they get it. And it's like, okay, hit the reset button. And let's frame this differently and move forward because it can work. We ran into the ditch, as they say, and we just need to hit the reset button but it's such a great analogy there to a comedian who has to get up there and then, right, if he's tossing out some lines and it's just not sticking, he has to come with a plan fast because if he's just going to go to his script, the audience is heading out on him.
There is no script. Yeah.
So now you talk about comedians again, that they have a strategy. Because remember, there seems to be a little bit of conflict here. And that is, you say they have a strategy, but at the same time, they're improvising. How does that work?
I was doing a workshop on Monday night with a bunch of other improvisers. We had a great, great moment. Two actors were on stage and we were to get up there and say anything. And actor number one said to actor number two, she put her hand up against her cheek and she said, "The dentist was murder." Now, the person who was on stage with her, actor number two, didn't hear her say that. So the dentist said, "What?" She said, "What? The dentist was murdered?" Now, actor number one was about to correct her and say, "No, I just said the dentist was murder." But the director turned to actor number one and said, "Go with it. Go with it. Say yes."
Right.
And
improvise.
It went from "the dentist was murder," and the woman said, "Your dentist was murdered?" And actor one said, "Yes, I was sitting in the chair and this guy walked in with a gun and shot him." And I was like, "What just happened?" And we all burst out laughing because that's funny.
Right.
That is saying yes to the moment. Now, that was funny. We laughed because the actor number one got out of her head. She accepted the offer.
Right.
She said, "Yes."
Right.
And The guy walked in and shot him and everybody started laughing because that's funny. And so letting go of our ego, letting go of control and allowing something to happen usually unleashes something that provides relief. And on an improv stage, humor.
That's a great example. I'm just thinking about it, right, because most people are then like, whoa, wait a second. Let's hold on to the narrative that we had originally.
Exactly.
You're saying, wait a second, a new opportunity came with it. Run with it. Take that in a creative direction
as opposed to just trust it. Yep.
Going back to your political experience for a minute, the skills in the political world, you touched on this in the beginning of the show, really trained you and braced you for dealing really with any situation. Any other examples you can share on that, again, from your political world?
I love Election Day. I love Election Day because, and probably the reason I was so happy being in politics was that Election Day was coming, whether or not, nothing could move Election Day.
Right.
No board of directors could change the date. Nobody could cancel it. Nobody could get sick and it's canceled. Election Day was coming. So no matter what, we were all headed toward a finish line.
Right.
And you become a team inevitably because of the sense of speed. And I would encourage people to think that way, to remember the joy of looking to an end together.
Right.
And, that was quite important. And I always go back to taking things personally because it'll stunt you. It'll stunt your growth. And when you're seeking for some sort of approval, you're usually missing the opportunities for momentum, for somebody to hire you, for something wonderful to happen. So,
on that same point, one of the great quotes out there, now I'm blanking on who said it, but a goal is a dream with a deadline. There you go. A goal is a dream with a deadline. Election Day forces you to think like that. Any nonprofit campaign forces you to think like that. If it's boxed in, as opposed to something that's just open ended, and then we know, then it just it could run off the rails and what's you know. But if there's some deadline built in, then that's, you know, usually the number one factor that keeps everyone firmly, planted on their feet in order to focus on the goal, because there's a deadline built in. So, and I mean, the only sad, you know, memory on that is that, right, 9/11, that primary day was the only election day. I mean, it's primary day, but we know how valuable that is in the New York cycle.
That was one of the first times ever
that I got moved off. I mean, it had to because of circumstances. Okay, let's now move to yes. Okay, you're a passionate advocate of yes words, and that's really what your book is going to be about. What are yes words, and why are they so important?
Yes words are absent judgment, cynicism, sarcasm, or fear. They are words that are expressed with a sense of momentum, joy, optimism, and positivity. And you and I know right now there's an awful lot of judgment, cynicism, sarcasm, and fear out there. And if when people become mindful of what those words are that are blocking them, I watch in person what happens to them. When we transform the words we use now that are keeping us stuck into the words that are the slightest difference to move us forward and inevitably move the people we're speaking to forward. One example would be that number one thing a lot of people want to say to me is, I need to get control of this person. I need to get control of this situation. And I tell them that I'm going to transform your statement from your event, which is the conflict you're thinking about controlling something, to being in communication with this person, to being in communication with this conflict. Being in communication with it suggests momentum, suggests an opportunity to create a safe space, suggests trust within yourself to be ready to hear something new that's going to take you away from what your ego has decided to be true. So that's what yes words are. And bringing their attention to people is the highlight of my work.
Now, I mean, obviously online they're able to find you, but how could people get in touch with you? What's the best way that you recommend that?
The best way to find out about me or to be in touch with me is jean@jeanmstafford.com. My website is jeanmstafford.com, which is spelled JeanneM for motivation. Don't tell my parents I changed my name. And Stafford.com. So jeanmstafford.com. And to email me at jean@jeanmstafford.com.
Amazing. You're tuned to the Mind Your Business Show with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting websitewithbrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Hi, this is Yitzhak Saftless of Mind Your Business. Well, I'm happy to announce that recently Mind Your Business joined C-Suite TV. Well, are you looking for some great business content other than right here on this show? Then check out C-Suite TV and watch in-depth interviews and business content for C-level executives and entrepreneurs. Watch and get insider secrets on demand by going to csuitetv.com. Again, that's C-Suite SUITETV.com. C-Suite TV, Business Insights on Demand.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line as a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. My guest this evening is Jean Stafford, communications trainer, speaker, president of Stafford & Company, and she has a new book coming out very soon, fall 2017. It's called Think, Drink, Eat, Move, Four Steps to Yes. Pretty exciting. I mean, how long have you been... Books don't happen overnight. Can I ask, can I put you on the spot, how long have you been working on the book?
Well, it's a longer story. I'll tell you, there are two books.
Wow.
And the second book is one that is much longer than this book. And I was stuck looking for somebody to represent me. I was stuck looking for it to be packaged correctly. And it's a much longer book that I could talk about at another time. And I was stuck. And I took a walk one day and I said, what am I missing? And what I was missing was the number one thing people were asking me for when I was speaking in front of a group or working one-on-one with a client. They'd say, where do you get all your energy, Jean? How do you deal with this? How do you
and
handle that?
And that wasn't addressed in your original manuscript.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it hit you?
Yeah. It hit me. And in 2 weeks, I wrote Think, Drink, Eat, Move, Four Steps to Yes.
Wow.
In 2 weeks, I wrote it.
I sat down and wrote it.
It's a separate book. It's a
and
separate
that's
book.
Be your first release.
So what's exciting for me is that what I've uncovered, I believe, as I plan for the future, right. Not hope, but plan,
okay,
that this book be almost in concert with the second book, that the energy around this book that I've self-published be something that creates motivation, momentum for the second book. So I want everybody who's out there thinking about writing a book to listen carefully to that part, that first of all, if you want to write a book, write a book. And second of all, if you have a book you believe is something for the world, then maybe say take some time with it, sit back and realize you need to take another step. So Think, Drink, Eat, Move, Four Steps to Yes is a very small handbook.
Now, one thing that I really enjoy talking with very smart people is that there's little tidbits. You dropped something in there that I didn't even, you know, have in my notes to speak to you about. I don't hope, I plan.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yes, yes. Hope can be a word that for me can fall into the no column sometimes, that I hope this happens, you know,
right.
I hope we get there,
then,
I hope I'm around,
whatever,
which is a big no word. We never need to use whatever because it completely negates whatever's been said before it.
Right.
It completely negates what has been said before it. I like to catch myself live with it.
There.
Yeah. Oh, not a slip, always an opportunity to let somebody else laugh at themselves when they find themselves in it. So yes, plan.
Now talking about communication today as opposed to 10 years ago, you know, so much is done by, I'd love to talk about email as well, but first let's talk about social media.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know social media is, change the rules, how we communicate, and we could lament it, perhaps. What would you say are the kind of do's and don'ts for good communication on social media?
Mm. Well, number one, it's something people need to really, really, really put their arms around and decide to have a relationship with. Social media is not going anywhere. Facebook right. is not going anywhere. Right. If you're somebody who says, I don't really want to deal with that, find somebody who can gently bring you into it and give you an understanding. To me, it is a gold mine for outreach to the people I want to be reaching and having conversations with.
Mm-hmm.
And in this past year, we've seen it used in a way that hasn't been as positive.
Right.
And so it's turned a lot of people off. But I jokingly say to people that there has never been a more beautiful way to have everything look the way you want it to, right, than now. You can decide who you look at. You can decide what you see. And you're over, you have control over, you are in communication with how often you look at it and what you see when you get there.
Now, let's talk about email. Now, one is email marketing, but even just in communication, one-on-one email. We know that people, you know, technically take shortcuts from the way they would draft a real warm letter from one to another via, you know, U.S. mail. What tips would you recommend in someone crafts an email? Again, a good one-on-one email that they want to communicate something.
Right. If we want to communicate something, we inevitably want to be forming a relationship with the person on the other side. Mm-hmm. A very powerful improv tool to please the audience is called reincorporation. When the audience hears something that's happened earlier in the scene or mm-hmm. earlier in the show, okay, reincorporated into a moment, we call that ear candy. The audience leans forward because they think, wow, I heard that before, and the person remembered it, was thoughtful enough to bring it back. When we're writing emails, we always have an opportunity. We're being given an offer to have a relationship, get out of our heads, in the prior email. So this is the strategy I suggest my clients and audiences use. When you receive an email from someone, they've written a lot of words in there. Mm-hmm. They've given you information. There is generally a word or phrase that they've said that you can repeat back to them in your email. It says, I heard you, I read you, I understood you, and now I'm with you having this communication. It's very pleasing to your audience to see that you took time to really read their email. You took time to understand, and now you are looking to have a relationship moving forward. It's very transformative, and it gets you out of your head. Because a lot of times we want to, okay, someone just sent me an email now. I need this from him. I need this from her. Take a deep breath. Make sure when you're writing emails, you have time to be writing emails, especially when they're important. Point. And be
thoughtful. It sounds
thoughtful.
So simple, but that is so important. Because we know that, you know, the average person gets, what, 100 to 200 emails a day.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to just, like, you know, bang them out, get right. the responses out. But you're saying if something requires your attention and your time, put the time in.
Yeah.
Don't just, like, fire off something and write something cryptic.
Right. And you said that the large number of emails, 10 to 20 of those are very important.
Right,
10 to 20
point.
Of those.
Segment them out.
Yes. 10 to 20 of those are worth the extra 30 seconds, 30 to 60 seconds I just suggested you take.
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing? It takes 30 to 60 seconds to review somebody's email and to find the ear candy or the eye candy, as I call it, that you say, ooh, that resonates with me. I like that. And maybe even you say to that person in the email, oh, you know what really resonated with me? This. Keep it brief, keep it impactful, keep it generous and thoughtful.
And how many times, I mean, this is almost a I don't want to say a stupid question, but just how often is this violated where people just look at an email, jump to a conclusion? If they would just read it a second time or read it slowly, then they would see that there was an entirely different intention in that email.
I've done that. I've read things too quickly. I've been in haste running from one place to another. I quickly look at it when I shouldn't have, but I do. I always have practiced taking a moment, especially when I have a reaction to an email. If I have a reaction to it, I make sure, ooh, I'm going to read that later before I respond. And always, always, always take a deep breath. If it's something conjuring up conflict in you, take a deep breath, walk away from the space where you do the email. If you can wait an hour or a little bit, do it and then go back to it. But be mindful. I love that the name of the show is Mind Your Business.
Mind Your Business.
When we are aware of our mindfulness in every space we enter, and then that is my work, that in every space we enter, we have an opportunity to take another 30 to 60 seconds and be more mindful about our communication.
Would you agree or disagree? I mean, this is something that I do, but you could tell me if it's not correct. Let's say there's an email that comes to me that is going to need a mindfulness. the recipient or the sender is expecting a response within, let's say, 3-4 hours. But I need an overnight to have clear thinking on it. I'll respond by saying, I hear you. Let me think it over. I'll respond in the morning. Or should I just ignore and not send that initial response that I need more time?
Don't ignore. So your instinct to say, I hear you, and this is when I can respond, is very comforting and increases the trust in the relationship.
Right. You explained it really well.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sometimes silence makes the heart grow doubt.
Is it sometimes or usually?
Sometimes silence is necessary for us to create an understanding if we're live in space. Oftentimes silent makes the heart grow doubt, where I haven't heard from this person, now my mind is going crazy.
So. I'm having some real meaningful conversation with Gene Stafford, trainer, corporate trainer, speaker, president of Stafford & Company, here on Mind Your Business. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Since 1848, the quality of Herzog wines has been appreciated by royalty as well as those who aspire to it. Located in its state-of-the-art winery in Oxnard, California, the Herzog family produces a wide range of wines combining old-world value and new-world technology. These wines have made Herzog Wine Cellars the most award-winning kosher winery in the world.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC and on the 77 WABC app. My guest this evening is Gene Stafford, communications trainer, speaker, president of Stafford & Company. And she has a new book coming out in quarter three, maybe, but probably more like Q4 of 2017. Think, Drink, Eat, Move, 4 Steps to Yes. And there is taking really a lifetime of experience from her political experience, fundraising experience, working with so many CEOs and leaders in the C-suite, and kind of encapsulating that and putting that into the book. Can't really wait to see it. Really can't wait to see it.
Thank you. Good luck. Thank you.
We know this last stretch is the home stretch.
Exactly.
We know it's I don't know if it's the most difficult part. Anything about a book is difficult. So.
Yes.
Now, your communications at its core, your firm trains CEOs how to communicate better. Perhaps you could even just explain that, frame that for the listeners of Mind Your Business, and then maybe even describe a sample session. What happens when they contact you and they retain your firm?
Mm-hmm. Well, for one-on-one training, I get the best thing I could do is give you outcomes of some of the people I've worked with and are working
sure.
with now. One person in particular is negotiating a deal with a record company for his next album.
Great.
And he is concerned that some of the titles he's given to some of the songs will be misconstrued when resold.
Mm.
So we've come up with a list of his yes words to describe why the song is named this, so that he is leading with those descriptions every time he refers to it in a marketing setting. Mm. And what it's done is it's addressed the amount of conflict he had in his head over past experiences where this went wrong. Mm. And he's uncovering his power in every space he enters, every single text exchange with these people he's negotiating with, every single email, every single in-person meeting. And even though improv is to do so without a script, this is an opportunity to remember who he's serving an audience that's given him information. So he's able to get back on track and keep the people who are listening to him on track by using yes words.
So now, let's say for a CEO or someone running for office, how can they benefit through your firm?
Oftentimes, the number one thing that's taking all great communicators down is conflict and how much time you spend in it. And if you're running for office or you're running a company, you're going to be dealing with conflict a lot more than not. And how quickly you stay in conflict, how agile you are in conflict, how flexible you are with the words you use will determine how many scenes you have, like I was referring to earlier. So my clients learn to increase the number of scenes they're having, which when we go back to the article I wrote for Huffington, the number one thing we can learn in a political campaign is to take things professionally, not personally. So those are the types of skills my clients learn. Like I help to identify where it is they're taking things personally, where it is they're stuck. And a word that I love used for the work that I do is safe, that I'll create a safe space for someone to let me know where they'd like to move forward. And we can meet there and help them, give them the strategies to move through conflict so they can have more scenes.
Now, you frequently talk about in your lectures, et cetera, about the attitude of optimism. My first question is going to be, I mean, how can a business leader really create this corporate culture to have that? And then my second question is going to be, does it really help a company produce tangible results?
So culture and tangible results.
And tangible results.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Well, with the culture, if there's a weekly meeting and it doesn't seem to have much life, reevaluate it. I teach people all kinds of improv games to do. If we have a client who's bringing up a great deal of conflict, rename the client. What are some of the fun, you know, characters we have out there in the comedy world? We can rename the client Jerry Seinfeld for fun. Inside when we're referring to it. And we do that in a way to create momentum so that when we're talking about it, we're not drained, but we're looking at it from a new vantage point. And oftentimes somebody who is served by others is unaware of what may be needed because they're the people who are working for them don't know there's a space to enter. So start meetings at a different time. Have somebody in your firm who has never led the meeting before lead the meeting with a game, or ask them what they love that they haven't brought to work yet. You know, do you play guitar? Great. Where'd you play? Do you want to play for us for 5 minutes or 3 minutes before we open up our meeting? You know, it sounds silly, but it's a way of truly saying yes to the space that this is a space where I've invested in you who works for me. You are something I'm investing in. I want to hear back from you. And then it opens up the conversation for employees to feel safe.
I mean, and greater engagement.
Yes, yes. And the tangible result is they're greater advocates for you. They become much better advocates for the work that you're doing and better storytellers about the company to prospective clients and customers and to present clients and customers. We want to invest in the people, reinvest in the people we've invested in over and over again with great consistency. There's this trend to say, we're going to hire a speaker, we're all going to go away, and I'm going to spend a lot of money on you, and we're going to go to this great hotel once a year for 3 days, and then we're going to go back to work and go back the way it always has been. One of the things I've enjoyed most is getting invited into the environment where people work and seeing where that type of agileness, that type of flexibility could be created in the people right there in their workspace where they'll learn how to become unstuck. They'll learn how to work through conflict and they'll learn how to increase the number of scenes they have by merely being attentive to their yes words.
Now, I mean, you know, anyone that would think this through would imagine that certainly such an environment would produce a greater tangible result, a greater financial benefit, etc. But is there any particular data to support that? Or I mean, again, common sense would dictate that if people are frustrated and they're grinding, then naturally things are going to go slower. But is there any way for a business to say, you know what, I finally get it, and I realize we will improve our financial numbers if the corporate culture just improves?
Yes. Alan Alda started the Communication School for Science at Stony Brook University. And I may have messed up the exact name of the place, but at Stony Brook University, Alan Alda found a place to do something that, to fix something he knew was wrong. He found out that scientists were uncovering wonderful things and they were unable to get funding for their research to take it further. Right. And he said, if these people became better communicators about their work, they would attract greater funding. And the Alan Alda Center for Communications at Stony Brook University has been doing that, I think, for almost 10 years. And he has proven at Stony Brook that this works. He has proven. So someone out there is doing this with scientists. They are better able to convey to the general public, and most importantly, to funders, to raise money to tell the story of their science so they can get invested in to take their work further. I mean, I can't think of anything better than making us all better storytellers in every space we enter so that we can increase the amount of... So if someone is going to write a check to a scientist, they need to have established some trust in their message.
Right.
And that's what improv does. It releases the storyteller in you where you're set free, and then you can have a conversation and develop a relationship with somebody in every space you enter, whether you're raising money for a corporate entity, whether you're raising money for a nonprofit or a politician, whether you're building your business. So it has been proven, and it's exciting to talk about.
Now, we're not out of time yet, but we're approaching the close. And you talk about storytelling. You have this great story about waiting in line at the airport and, of course, the lesson that you learned from it. Could you share it with us?
In February, I was returning from giving a keynote, and I was in Orlando Airport.
Okay.
And I was on that line where they say you're ready to be seated, and I had a great spot on line. And I looked over at the gate next to me. There was a man standing with a bouquet of roses, and it was Valentine's weekend.
Okay.
And he looked adorable. He was standing there staring at the gate for the other plane next to us to depart for the passengers to depart. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's waiting to give somebody flowers. So I got offline without thinking about it. I got offline and I put myself in a place that I could watch her come off the plane.
Right.
And I did. And I sat and I snapped picture, one after the other. And when they finished hugging, and it was adorable, it was a beautiful scene. He hugged her. She had no idea he was going to be there. He had the flowers. I took the pictures and I walked up to them and said, would you like the pictures? And she said, oh, you took pictures? Oh my gosh, thank you. And she started crying and I texted her the pictures. And I looked back to the line and the people online were signaling to me to get back in my space.
Wow, that's precious,
online.
Precious.
And I got back online, and what I learned is that we all love love. We all love love. And it takes looking around, seeing what we need to see, being present. All those people, a good majority of the people on that line were not on their phones. They had turned to watch the scene happening at the gate next to us at the airport.
And they engaged with what was going on.
Yeah, everybody was watching. Everybody was watching. And I had all these people sort of tap me on the back like, oh my gosh, that was great. That was great. That was great. And they saved my place in line. I was so unexpected.
Right.
I was having fun. I really wasn't in a rush to get on the plane. And what a wonderful gift to turn around and everybody, go back to your place in line. So that's an example of saying yes to every space we enter, to be open. And now more than ever, we could use moments like that people are attuned to each other, off their phones, looking up, looking out and receiving and saying yes.
Now, time goes very fast on the show. It's a lot of fun. But before we close out, what final takeaways would you like to share with the listeners of Mind Your Business?
Oh, go ahead and reduce the number of notifications coming through on your phone. Get yourself back in communication with your heart and your head. Our phones are wonderful vehicles for coordinating and scheduling. And we need to be mindful of how often we're using them to really communicate with ourselves in every space we enter, to be still and to be present. And that really is an important takeaway I'm finding with a lot of people, that we have the power over that wonderful piece of technology, and we could be using it more effectively.
And finally, how can people get in touch with you again, if you could remind the audience?
Jean@jeanmstafford.com. And I have a free program on my website called Yes Words. So if they go on to the first page of my website, jeanmstafford.com, and they enter their email into Yes Words, in 30 days, they could turn around the way they think and the types of things they're awake to in the spaces that they enter.
Jean, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking of your precious time. What a great interview. In case you're just tuning in, no worries. By Tuesday following the airing of this show, it will be up. Certainly the iTunes, and if you want to listen on your computer, the video may take a little bit more time, but it will go up eventually as well. Well, that brings to a close another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night at 10 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.